How we doing, folks? And welcome to Relevant Tones. I'm your host today, Austin Williams. We started the show with a composition of mine, actually. I actually think this is the first time a piece of mine has been featured on the show. So that's kind of exciting. I wrote that piece back in 2016, so about a decade now, maybe even 2015, so solidly a decade. And that piece was honestly one of my first introductions and intros to my interest in feedback, and I guess noise music in general is largely what I was inspired by in that piece. But I was playing a guitar a lot during that time, and the inspiration for that piece came about when I was just kind of messing around and improvising one day. And I discovered that, kind of by accident, but I leaned my guitar against my amplifier, and it started feedbacking, but kind of in a controlled and pleasant way, where the feedback tone was resonating the low string. And I could change the pitch of that string by, you know, the tuning peg, obviously, which would then in turn change the pitch of the feedback that you were hearing. So I thought that was kind of a cool parameter to work with. So I wrote this piece for amplifier and guitar feedback and synthesizer. So obviously very much a drone work that you know, has that large amount of that influence as well. But I think that's just kind of inherent with what it was at the time. So, but I thought that'd be a fun way to start this episode because, yes, today we are talking about feedback. Another broad topic episode on Relevant Tones. Again, let us know if you're enjoying these. You don't, drop us a line. If you do, drop us a line. We'd love to hear from our audience if you guys are enjoying these broader topic episodes that we tackle every now and then. And it is just me today. Unfortunately, I do not have a guest, but that is, you know, where we are. In lieu of a guest, however, I wanted to bring up this old interview I have of me and Paula Mathewson from Splice Institute this past summer in 2024, where we talk about feedback. And there was a whole seminar on feedback and its use in music. And I think that there's just some really lovely stuff that Paula says about it in this short bit. And then after that interview, we'll hear a work of Paula's. It's a work that she collaborated with Andy Kozar on from, Andy is a, also been on the show actually, a trumpet player. Yeah, so here's that interview with Paula.
You're also running, feedback workshop and, maybe talk about that a little bit and maybe I'm not in it. So I'm genuinely just, what are you doing in there? What's the class about?
Oh, well, feedback.
Yeah.
Ta-da! That's been super fun because the participants in it, too, have, like, because there's so many different ways to manifest feedback.
Yeah,
right? And
for
so
sure.
This part been fun is to learn from the participants in terms of the ways that they're already thinking and working with it.
Okay,
right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And I always like to quote Daniel Fishkin because who makes beautiful work, and one of the things that he said was, like, feedback is like the real Promethean kind of thing of electronic music.
Okay. Yeah.
And so there's all these seminal works from like early experimental music, right? Like that involves it in some sort of level because it's highly contingent to the sort of space and the process, right?
Yeah.
Like, but it also is like just very quick and immediate.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so thanks to, like a lot of the work that we were sort of talking about too, some of the historical works, right, were like by Alvin Lucier, of course, who has had a big impact on so many people, including myself.
Sure.
And then talking about some of the classics like Pendulum Music by Steve Reich, right?
Yeah,
like, and then, but then going much more contemporary with that too and looking at some of the work that Cecilia Lopez, for example, is doing with Red, which is both instrument sculpture and like very beautiful sort of elaborate system that keeps building.
Sure, sure.
And then also talking about circuit-based feedback, right? Like, and,
yeah.
And so, again, just really, really fun. But then, like, things that sort of, like, talking about the power of recursive systems because of what they reveal about the mechanisms of how things are working.
Right.
And so I was able to reach out to a good friend and frequent collaborator, Philip White, too, in terms of, like, talking about, like, okay, wait, there's this phenomenon that happens, and what does that mean exactly?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Because someone had asked about it in class, and it was just like...
Oh, okay, yeah.
And kind of being like, oh, right. Like, that's a thing, but, you know, and it's one of the things that's, like, the vibe is really good because people have been really generous with offering what their, you know, what their different sort of super secret powers are.
I mean, I love that idea. It is this, like, beast you kind of have to wrangle down, right? Because it'll get real gnarly real quick. But once you can kind of figure out the parameters that you're working with, it's super powerful.
Thank you.
So again, that was a piece by Paula Mathewson, performed by Andy Kozar. And the name of that piece is A Few Kites. And the piece uses field recordings that Paula gathered from Central Park in New York, I believe, during the summer from June to September, which are then processed. And I believe she always uses feedback in an element of her processing, whether it's actual audio feedback or, you know, internal circuitry feedback. And I love the soundscapes and the ways that they take this place. And I think it's a very sensitive piece as well, that because when individuals hear feedback, I think that it's a trigger word of like something that's really aggressive and might not necessarily have direction or the ability to be used in a meaningful way. But obviously that is not the case, and with any of the artists that we're dealing with today. So just thought that might be worth mentioning. But moving forward, we're going to listen to a piece by one of the artists that Paula mentioned in the interview that I had with her this past summer. We're going to listen to that piece that she mentioned, Red, by Cecilia Lopez. It's kind of hard to really fully capture the essence of this piece just through audio, given that it is an installation work. But I think that I chose a nice section of it to really showcase what it's about. And let me pull up here a little bit of a description of it. Fusing architecture, installation, and composition in Red, DB in parentheses. Two large woven wire nets hung from roulettes, ceiling holding instruments, creating a complex feedback organism. The suspended instruments simultaneously played in the space by percussionist Gerald Cleaver and bassist Brandon Lopez and Cecilia Lopez on electronics. So this is very much an installation work, but I think that sonically it is also incredibly compelling as well. And as it mentioned in the description, we're dealing with a kind of a feedback organism. And I think that that's like another way to think about feedback is it's not just like from an audio perspective of like, oh, a microphone's, you know, feeding back with a speaker. It's just this idea of like recursion and how can an artist implement that in their music, and what does that do to influence how they shape the music and shape the art that they're doing. And I believe that Cecilia Lopez here starts to really use it as a way to build momentum towards some larger sounds. The full piece and installation recording is about 50 minutes long. We are not going to listen to that today. But I found about a 10-minute section that I found incredibly compelling. And just to give it a little bit of context, right before this section is very sparse and a lot quieter. And I kind of cut us to where things start to really ramp up and build for the sake of time. But I do encourage you to go and listen to the whole thing. And there is also a video out there as well that shows the process of this. If you are interested, please check out Cecilia Lopez's Bandcamp, which is just cecilialopez.bandcamp.com.
Thank you.
So moving forward, we are going to jump more into, well, not quite yet. We are going to kind of stick within the realm of acoustic feedback. And I think an artist that really exemplifies this in such a fantastic way, and it's just creates some really amazing art, is Scott L. Miller out of Minnesota. Scott has done, and actually we reviewed an album of his earlier this summer, but I just, you know, I any chance I have to showcase his music, I certainly love to do it. And if you're really, seriously, if you're not familiar with his music, go check out Scott's website. He's got some just awesome stuff out there. And if you're into graphic scores, some beautiful graphic scores as well. He's a large, you know, inspiration and influence on my work, even today. And Scott's a really great guy too. So you got that. But in this piece that we are going to enjoy listening to, let me just remind myself of the title. Yes, Whispering Beast. It has Scott as a performer himself using a Kima system, which is similar to Max MSP and other digital sound signal processing systems, and an acoustic cello. And the cello is positioned in such a way around microphones and the speakers on stage where, yes, Scott is controlling the amount of signal that is sending to the speakers and then are in turn sometimes being picked up by the microphone, creating these really like gnarly moments, but like you can tell like it's done so artistically and intentionally, and just creates these fantastic builds and swells and attacks. So I think Whispering Beast is such an apropos name for this piece for that reason. Before I continue to ramble on more about this, let's just give it a listen. This is Scott's piece, Whispering Beast. Yeah, it's just some really cool stuff that they have going on there. I just love the sounds that Scott is able to access with his biofeedback, as he describes it. He has this other really cool installation with a piano with a bunch of transducers inside of it, and it just kind of becomes its truly own living thing. And it just continues to evolve and change. And yeah, it's just, it's its own organism. Check out more of Scott's music if you haven't. I highly recommend it. I think he's doing some wonderful stuff. I know that he is retiring from teaching at St. Cloud State up in Minnesota soon. So maybe that'll give him more time to compose. We'll see if anything else new comes up. But I also just enjoy the works that he's already put out into the world. This transitions us nicely into some bit more aggressive music. I really wanted to touch on this aspect of feedback and music, where you can have, well, so far we've talked about acoustic feedback largely. This idea that you know, you're taking a sound source, feeding it into something or amplifying it electronically, and then it kind of feeds back into itself. And also, like, again, just that idea of recursion. So if you take that idea of recursion and implement it into an electronic instrument by itself, let's say a standard analog mixer, you start to get feedback loops, and you can get some really gnarly and interesting sounds with that. So the last bit of this episode is largely going to be about no input mixers, which, if you're familiar with, you can have an idea of the kind of music that we're about to jump into. It is pretty harsh and pretty gnarly, but I think it's, you know, a very important part of this family, and honestly, a natural progression of how things kind of developed within the experimental electronic music world. So the first artist we're going to take a listen to is kind of the pioneer of it, Toshimaru Nakamura. They've been doing this for a good while. And then we're going to close out with some Marispo, who's also been doing this for you know, long time as well. So so this is Toshimaru's piece, NIM number 49. Hope you enjoy. It's such a catchy tune, you know? It gets really stuck in your head. yeah, so that was NIM number 49 by Toshimaru Nakamura. And yeah, I mean, like, that the Japanese noise scene was or is a large influence on like my music, and I know a lot of other colleagues of mine who write similarly or are, you know, into a similar aesthetic are largely influenced by it. So I knew I when I was planning this episode that I had to incorporate that and talk about it in some capacity, and I'm happy to, because while agreed that it's, you know, maybe not the most accessible style of music or sound creation, it's I think it's important to a lot of artists who it may not actually be like apparently like abundantly apparent in their music on the surface, but you can probably start to see the influence after some time. So that was that piece by Toshimaru. And I think we're going to close out with some Maritsubo here. Maritsubo comes from a similar ilk of the Japanese noise scene. A bit more, I guess, like not actually punk rock, but a bit more independent. Maritsubo didn't have as much of a connection to like the art music scene. Very much established in their own, you know, genre and genus of noise. But yeah, using similar techniques of no input mixing as Toshimaru, just kind of bringing a different take on it as well. So these are the two artists that use, you know, internal feedback or circuit feedback that I wanted to feature. Because again, I think that there's a lot to be said for the variety of ways you can implement this idea of feedback into your music, whether it's through acoustic feedback, internal feedback, any idea or philosophy that includes like recursion in your music or in art. Is really fascinating to me to see like how an artist wrangles down this beast, honestly this Ouroboros that's just kind of eating itself, and it can be really aggressive and unforgiving. But I think for that reason that you can, if you see an artist that has really mastered or has facility rather over this technique, I think it really shows that they have spent a lot of time, and it's hard to be unintentional with this form of process and creation. So we're going to close out with some Maritsubo, and the name of the tune is Cannibalism of the Machine, which is a very apropos name based on what I just mentioned. But this is your reminder that Relevant Tones is a product of Axis Contemporary Music. Find out more at acmusic.org, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks, folks.